Morning. Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. It's so good to see you all this morning. I have a few announcements to share with you this morning. Just kind of want to go over the calendar for this week. We have a lot going on. So on Monday night at 7 o'clock, the Scouts are having their Court of Honor in our Fellowship Hall. Heather told me that this is open to the public. If anybody wants to come and see what the Scouts are up to, you are welcome. I'll plan to be there. So if you want to let me know, I'll look for you on Monday night. On Tuesday night, the deacons are going to have their monthly meeting at 7 o'clock via Zoom. If you have not gotten the Zoom link from me, let me know after the service and I will resend it to you either this afternoon or tomorrow. Final announcement is this is a very lucky year for us in that All Saints Day falls on a Sunday this year. Normally it falls on a day other than Sunday. So we are going to take full advantage of that this coming Sunday, and we are going to celebrate All Saints Day, and we are going to celebrate communion together. It'll be a great way to kick off November. But I do want to remind you that November 1st, this Sunday, is Daylight Savings Day, so set your clocks back an hour on Saturday night. Otherwise, you might miss church on Sunday. Those are all of the announcements I have. Does anyone else have any announcements to share? BJ. Oh, I'm sorry. So the deacons are going to have sign-up sheets for our community Thanksgiving dinner starting next week, which will spell out what we need, and hopefully you are able to make something for the dinner. We'll have a greater sense of what we need after our deacons meeting on Tuesday. All right, friends, let us turn our attention to God with our call to worship. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals." 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me in our opening hymn, "How Lovely, Lord." The lyrics will be on the screen.
join me in the prayer of confession. Almighty and merciful God, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare those who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to the world in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O merciful God, for his sake, that we may live a holy, just, and humble life to the glory of your holy name.
Friends, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that we are forgiven. Amen.
Amen.
Profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us wave to one another from our seats.
Oh, This isn't really a prayer request, but I'm just taking advantage of the opportunity since I have the microphone. We all know what a wonderful family we have, and I talk about it every week about how great this family is. And I don't think that sometimes we know how far-reaching it is and all the wonderful things that this little family can do. And for those of you who missed it this morning, last week we had a guest from the police department here with us telling us about a new program called Faith in Blue. And I'm not going to talk about that, but if you want to read about it, it'll be in the Valley next week. But Lieutenant Benko, who was here last week, stopped in this morning. And he wasn't able to stay because he was on duty, but he just wanted us to know that he left here with such a good feeling last week. And we made him feel so welcome that he wanted to come back. And he made a donation. So we really, that is a praise request. And so just to let everybody know that your efforts really are getting out there into the community. So we praise the Lord for that. Also, we do have a prayer request this morning. For those of you who remember Kathy Meon, who came and belonged with us, worshiped with us for a number of years, Kathy passed away this week, and we are asking for prayers for her son, Bruce, who was also a member here, and the rest of their family.
Friends, please join me in prayer. Loving God, through your Son, you have called us to repent of our sin, to believe the good news, and to celebrate the coming of your kingdom. Like Christ's apostles, may we hear his call to discipleship and, forsaking old ways, proclaim the gospel of new life to a broken world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we offer to you our concerns. Lord, we ask that you would strengthen those who face particular challenges. Lord, we pray that you would be with Kathy's family, particularly her son Bruce, as they mourn her passing. Lord, we continue to pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we are delighted that there is now an FDA-approved treatment for the sickest COVID-19 patients. We pray that as this pandemic continues, more treatments would be made available. And Father, we continue to pray that a vaccine would come quickly. Lord, we pray for everybody in Allegheny County who has tested positive for the virus this week. We pray that you'd be with them and their families as they recover. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. Lord, we are so thankful for this church community, and we are thankful for the ways that you continue to call us to engage with our larger community. We pray especially that you would be with us as we build partnerships with other community organizations, from our police department to our scouts to different recovery groups. And Lord, we continue to pray that you would use this church to build your kingdom here on earth. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear, but may we also do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our offertory. Thank you. us give thanks to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Friends, I have a special treat for you this morning. Kristen is actually going to be preaching today, and it is her first time preaching, so please be attentive and kind as she does this very scary thing for the first time. In a moment, I'm going to put my mask back on, and I'm going to go to the back of the sanctuary so I can make sure that she's projecting all the way to the back, so I just didn't want you to be alarmed by that. So Kristen, if you could give me 30 seconds to get back there, and then you can start the scripture reading.
The scripture for today is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 46. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, "What do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he?" "The son of David," they replied. He said to them, "How is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' If then David calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one could say a word in reply, and from that day on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Please join me in prayer. Everlasting God, whose tenacious love holds us, make our hearts the house of your truth, and make our minds the realm of your wisdom, so that our fellowship will become your dwelling place, and we may respond to your gracious promises with faithfulness, service, and love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So Rebecca told me that this is a sort of a time where you can get to know me a little bit better. So here it goes. My mom has had to pick me up from a police station twice in a one-year time span. I was 5 years old at the time. The first time, I wanted ice cream, and the Dairy Queen was close by, across Route 20. And for some reason, the employees there thought it was odd that a little girl was crossing four lanes of rush hour traffic by herself. So they called the police, who picked me up and called my mom. The next time, I wanted to take a new route home from the bus stop. Home was less than a block away. It was a route I took every day. But on this particular day, I wanted to take the long way so that I could see the elephant ear plants. I got frustrated because I couldn't find the elephant ears, and a man saw me crying. Assuming I was lost, he invited me in for tomato soup and called the police, who picked me up and called my mom. I am convinced that the only reason I am still alive today is because the police had my mom on their radar. So you can see, I have always been stubborn. I have always been independent. I always like things my way. And those things make it so that I'm not exactly the easiest person to love. There are many more stories to illustrate this, and I'm sure my mom would be happy to tell them to you. Yet, my mom still loves me. We communicate through the week through texts and have lengthy phone calls every Sunday night. Now that I live closer, we both make time when it's safe to see one another. She has fed and clothed me, always made sure I had a safe, clean place to live. She's taken initiative in my education and has let me be creative and weird. Her love for me is evident by her patience and generosity, and the fact that I'm still alive to tell you about it. A mother's love and care for her child isn't particularly radical, but God's love for us and Jesus' command to love each other is radical. Our scripture today arrives at the end of a long series of orchestrated attempts to entrap Jesus. Sadducees and Pharisees tried to catch Jesus making a mistake against scripture. But of course, Jesus never fails. Here, a Pharisee lawyer asks, maybe in an attempt to trick Jesus, but maybe in all sincerity, which is the greatest commandment in the law? The answer seems pretty obvious to us, but for listeners at the time, there were 613 laws. And through rabbinical commentary, each one became more detailed and complex, making it difficult for the ordinary people to follow the law. There was some debate amongst scribes and rabbis about which one were more important, but the Pharisees asserted that all of the laws must be precisely followed. Jesus' answer works to simplify the law, although these aren't exactly easy commands to follow. First and foremost, Jesus quotes Deuteronomy. Love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Secondly, in a nod to Leviticus 19, Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. With this answer, Jesus is challenging the assumption that ceremonial law is equal to the laws about how we behave towards one another. Okay. But how do we love God? It can be hard enough to love the people we are close to. How do we find this emotional love for a remote and mysterious God? We can't look into God's eyes, wrap our arms around the Spirit, or see the face of Jesus. Well, see, the biblical meaning of love is a bit different from our everyday notion. Love is not passive. Love is not just an emotion. Biblical love is a verb. It's an active response to the radical and indiscriminate love of God. So, we love God by accepting God. We love God with our worship and prayers. We love God with our minds by studying the Word, letting it enlighten us, correct us, and send us out into loving action into the world. To love God is to love in the way God loves, radically and indiscriminately. To love God is to love what God loves, everything and everyone. This leads us to Jesus' second command, to love your neighbor as yourself. Loving your neighbor. Maybe this command is a little easier. I mean, we can at least see other people. I don't know about you, but I can't claim that I even like every person I meet. I definitely can't say I feel emotional love for everyone. But again, biblical love is about action, not emotions. We are called to treat strangers the way we treat those we love emotionally. And the only way to do this is to make a continuous, conscious choice to act with generous, patient, merciful loving kindness, to everyone, even our enemies. While the scribes and Pharisees used the law to place limits on those whom they were obliged to recognize as their neighbors, Jesus joins the texts of Deuteronomy and Leviticus in order to just smash all the limits and boundaries of who is considered our neighbor. Jesus is asserting that love, radical love, is a test of one's true understanding of the law. This means that we cannot love God and participate in oppression or exclusion. Nor can we tolerate poverty or abuse or an inequality of anyone, anywhere. After answering this question, Jesus turns the tables by asking a pretty tricky question of the Pharisees. Jesus pits the Pharisees between their literal understanding of the scripture and their cultural understanding of a father and son relationship. Whose son is the Messiah? The Pharisees opt for the safety of tradition. King David, of course. Jesus challenges their answer with the scripture of Psalm 110. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand. But how can the Messiah be David's son if David calls him Lord? This is something that turns culture and tradition on its head. A king would never defer to his son. Yet, King David calls him Lord, marking the Messiah as his superior. The Pharisees are stumped and need to rethink the traditional understanding of who and what the Messiah is. Jesus' messianic identity surpasses all of these traditional expectations, even as he himself fulfills the law and the prophets. All right, so what does this Messiah thing have to do with the commandments at the beginning of the passage? Well, the Pharisees cannot answer the question about David calling his son Lord because they don't understand the Messiah is not about traditional family hierarchies or power structures or even cultural expectations. Lordship to Jesus is not about holding power over another, but about love. The Messiah is about the greatest commandment, love. This passage connects the law, commandments, with the prophets, the Messiah, through love. Friends, Jesus' criticism is not limited to Palestinian Jewish leaders of the first century. We are just as likely to use our faith in the service of power, prestige, and exclusion. Jesus' words can be just as relevant and painful to Christians today. We are called to love, not just our family members, not just those who look like us, not just those who act like us, but we are called to radically love everyone, especially those people in our society who are often overlooked or dismissed or undervalued. Love is expensive, folks. It takes time, trust, attention, and energy. Sometimes it can be easy to emotionally love someone, and then our actions just follow suit with that. Yes, it's picking up your stubborn, independent 5-year-old from the police station twice in 1 year. It is also cuddling up next to your children or grandchildren to read a book before bedtime, or preparing a family meal, or just checking in on a friend. But the emotion of love is not what is commanded of us. It's the radical actions of love, even when we don't feel like it. God has charged us with that. It's getting to know your neighbors. It's serving and advocating for those on the margins in our society. Radical love is valuing and respecting those who look, act, speak, or believe differently from us. God doesn't ask the easy things of us, but by radically loving us, God has shown us how we can radically love others. We are called to love God and God's people in the same radical way that God loves us. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, Love the Lord Your God. We're going to sing through it twice. Blessing as we head out of this place. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a plan and God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.
Amen.